Hello, all you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope you stay tuned to kptz.org. Our website is more than just a way to listen to today's shows. For example, you can find the biographies of all of our hosts and DJs. You can also look at the calendar to see what's happening around town. You can sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming of KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show and listen to some other ones. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who are those incredibly fit women hosing down their racing shells just outside the Maritime Center? Who's the guy at the post office with about 50 small packages to mail? What's in them anyhow? And that band of kids racing down Jackman on their bikes? Do any of them ever take a spill? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with the people who make up the eclectic mix around these parts. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Sam Lilly, a millennial who defies the usual parameters of his generation. He's got a new business that he thinks he can grow nationally and perhaps internationally. The website for his business is veggievendor.com. We'll get to that a little later. First, I want to get into a little bit of Sam's background. Okay, Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here.
So let's start at the beginning. Are you a local boy? Were you born and bred in Port Townsend?
I am not. I've been here almost 2 years now. Uh-huh. I'm originally from San Diego, and then I went to San Jose State afterwards for college, and then moved up here after that.
Okay. Well, I always like to ask people about their high school experience, because a lot of people get labeled as something, whether a jock, a nerd, or whatever. They might not see themselves that way, but the other kids think that's who Sam is. What do you think they thought about you?
I don't think they would have called me a jock or nerd or anything like that. I was part of a JROTC program that our school didn't have, so I sought it out and went to that. And so I guess I was kind of known as the outside JROTC student.
Okay. And that obviously denotes an interest in the military. Did you come from a military family?
I did not. No. My father was in the Air Force during Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Okay. But were you interested in the military as a career?
Absolutely. Yeah. My entire life, I wanted to be a Marine Corps fighter pilot.
Wow. But you went to San Diego State. Was that a deviation in the path? What happened there?
Well, I went to San Jose State.
San Jose, sorry.
It wasn't a deviation. To become a pilot, you have to have a degree and go in as an officer.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So I graduated, and I was planning a hike for 3 years. It was the Pacific Crest Trail, and I wanted to do the hike before I signed any paperwork to go into the military, so I can make sure I made the right decision for me personally.
And what did you study at San Jose State?
International business. And I spent a year in France at the Toulouse Business School.
Oh, cool.
Which is number two in France.
Great. Do you speak French?
A little bit. I went over there not knowing any. And it was a steep learning curve.
Yeah, I think it would be. So you decided to do this hike. What did you do to prepare for the hike?
For the first 3 years that I planned it, I did longer and longer hikes each summer. 6 months prior to taking off on the hike, I wore a 40-pound weight vest every single day.
Wow.
I wore it to class, I wore it to the grocery store, I wore it to work, everywhere. It was equivalent to the weight of my backpack, so I wanted to make sure that my legs and my back were well adjusted. And I did weight training and calisthenics and ran the university library stairs. They had 10 flights and I would run them every morning.
Wow.
I did 100 flights and then would go to class.
How many miles long is that hike?
2,658.8.
Exactly. Okay. And had you always intended on doing it alone?
No. My original plan was to do it with my stepbrother.
Right.
And that kind of fell through 6 months before the hike took off. And I decided that I was going to do it anyway. This is something I've been planning. This is something I want to do. And I'm not going to let anyone hold me back from that.
And so when did you actually begin?
May 25th, 2015.
And how long did it take you?
128 days. So 2 days shy of 5 months.
Wow.
I finished October 23rd.
Okay. Now, your plan, as you said, was to finish the hike and then enlist in the Marines. But yet, you didn't. What happened then?
I did the hike alone, and I had a lot of time to think. And at the end, I figured there was two things I wanted to be as a young kid. One of them was a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
The other was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I always grew up having small businesses of my own.
What were some of your early ventures as a kid?
First one that comes to mind is Sam's Super Pooper Scoopers. So a dog cleaning company. Car washing business. I sold candy on the playground. I sold lemonade in the summer and found out it was seasonal. So I sold hot chocolate and coffee in the winter. In college, I sold coffee at the library during finals. So I brewed coffee at my house, brought it to the library, sold it for $2 a cup, and was quickly escorted out of the library.
That's too bad, because it seems like a needed product.
Yeah. And so when I was hiking, I had this idea for an app that would identify plants if you took a photo of it and connect you with your local nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured if there's any time to start a business like that, the time is now.
And did you launch the plant identification app?
I did not. I drew sketches for it and a business plan and created a pitch. And I pitched at the Silicon Valley Business Plan Competition in 2015. Mm-hmm. And made it to the finals, but got dead last in the finals.
Mm.
Startup cost was roughly $700,000 due to the technology of image analysis.
Yeah, that's sort of steep.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people would take that failure or rejection or whatever and go off in a corner and lick their wounds. But what happened to you?
I took a step back and took a look at it. And I also had this degree. And I wanted to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied to 106 jobs across 4 states. And I received 5 interviews and 1 offer to sell background check technology. These were mainly sales positions. A couple of them were executive assistant positions. I figured if I could get close to the executives, I can learn something from them and maybe build a business later on from what I've learned.
Okay. So basically the jobs you applied for were sales and marketing type jobs.
Entry-level, basic.
Entry-level. Interesting. I would have thought they would snap you up, but anyway, obviously, not having won the lottery, you probably needed to do something.
Yeah.
So what was the next step?
I went to a young professionals meeting. And
was that here in Port Townsend?
Here in Port Townsend.
Okay, we've missed a step then. How did you get to Port Townsend?
So after I got off the hike for the Pacific Crest Trail, I needed to readjust mentally into society. I was used to being alone. I was used to talking to myself and animals and the wind. And I went back to San Diego and felt a little claustrophobic from the amount of people that were there. It's 3.5 million. I have family up here in Port Townsend, and my mom lives up here. And she said, Sam, if you need to readjust mentally, come up here. There's 10,000 people. Deer roam the streets. Seattle's just right across the water. You know, you can get a job after you adjust.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that sounds perfect. Planned on being here 3 months, and now we're here almost 2 years.
Well, that was probably a wise decision. Did you immediately come up with the veggie vendor idea, or was there sort of a waste of time before you got there?
Small amount of time before I got there. I walked into the Business Resource Center and said, hey, my name is Sam. What kind of resources do you have? They said, come back to the young professionals. We're having a roundtable discussion about positives and negatives of the town. So that sounds great. Young professionals, Port Townsend, I'd love to meet some other people.
Right.
And so I show up about a week later, and we're discussing the positives and negatives. And the most often brought up problems were that cost of living is high.
Yes.
Most people have to work 2 to 3 jobs to make ends meet. And there's no easy access to fresh local produce that's always available. We have the farmers market that's available 2 days out of the week and right in the middle of the day. So when you're working 2 to 3 jobs, you don't have time to go to the farmer's market. You have the co-op, but it can be kind of pricey to get some really good produce. So the alternative is Safeway. It's always accessible. It's 24 hours. It's cheap, but the quality is really low, and you don't really know where it's coming from.
Before we go further, tell me a little bit about the young professionals. I mean, I've heard about them. I've talked to a few people who've been involved, but you walked in cold to this group. Roughly how many people were there, and what sort of businesses did they represent?
There were probably 20 to 25 people at the meeting from all over, age ranges from 20 to late 60s, definitely intergenerational. The businesses represented were real estate agents to beekeepers. Nonprofits were there. All different types of businesses and people with different backgrounds came together to find and try to solve problems within the community. They're an incredible group that is trying to improve our town and bring generations and ideas together.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM or online. Catch us at kptz.org. This show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. Today, my guest is Sam Lilly, who's the founder of a company called Vendor. But we'll get there in just a second. We've been talking about Sam's involvement with the Young Professionals Group. He went in and listened to them. And did you already have the idea for Vendor, or did that sort of emerge after this discussion?
It definitely emerged after the discussion. I had heard of the problems that the town was having, and I walked out of the meeting afterwards, walked home, and this was late June of 2016, and saw these fruits and vegetables growing in people's yards. And I thought, why can't we buy from our neighbors? That seems logical. If you've got apples, why can't I buy them? So I walked up to a door who had an apple tree out front, knocked. Luckily, someone answered, and I said, "Hi, I happened to walk by. I saw you have apples. You ever thought about selling them?" And they looked puzzled. No. So would you be interested? "If I could find someone who could buy your apples, would you be willing to sell them?" "Sure, why not? They just fall and rot and the deer eat them. So why not sell them?" I said, "Okay, I'll be back." And after running the company for a few months, I realized a few problems that Vendor solved within the community. And that's how it got going. For the first 3 months, I knocked on doors just trying to get suppliers, growers, and hand-delivered over 300 pounds of produce between community members on foot and bicycle. Everything was done manually. I started Vendor for $18.56.
So where does the name come from, Vendor?
Vendor is someone who experiences the world around them through their senses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that originally came from Veggie Finder. I pronounced it originally Vinder, but as soon as I got it printed and gave it to the community, everyone pronounced it Vendor. And I figured, well, it's easier for me to change how I say it than change the people around me.
Okay, and so it's spelled V-I-N-D-E-R.
Correct.
Because some people might think Vendor, but this is Vendor. And so the corporate name is just Vendor Inc.?
Just Vendor Inc.
Vendor Inc., okay. Good. So you got started basically by knocking on doors of people you could see that they had apple trees or cherry trees or whatever.
Correct.
And did you experience any rejection, or were people all for it?
I got a lot of rejection.
Okay.
I got a lot of rejection. Now, what are you doing in my yard?
Yeah.
The people weren't open to it. I found that there were polarized opinions. Either people really loved it, or they thought this is going to be a complete failure, which I think happens when innovation is happening. People are either going to be really for it or completely against it.
So when you first started, it was you on your bicycle, correct?
Correct. Not cold calling people, but calling the growers I met who were interested, or emailing them, finding out what they had available that week, calling or emailing all the customers I had found, finding out what they wanted that week. And then all the orders went on post-it notes and onto my walls. And that's how I handled everything. Everything was manual, and I carried around a big bag of money, cash, with change, and I had to break change. Everything was done, you know, first with cash and change, and then found that to be a big problem, and it was also heavy.
Yeah.
So I changed to a square that I could add onto my phone.
Right.
Customers could swipe their card. Makes payments super easy. I still had to pay my growers in cash.
You're using the term grower. Now, to most people, a grower is actually someone with a big operation, but you're not necessarily talking about that, are you?
No, all of our growers are backyard gardeners, every single one of them.
Okay, so you're talking about someone who maybe has a couple of raised beds or a couple of fruit trees in the yard, that
exactly.
Level of thing?
Exactly.
And most people who have that eat a lot of their fruit, but there comes a point where you can't have it. Some of the things don't freeze well.
Some don't freeze well, and a lot goes to waste. There's actually an estimate about $1.1 billion in excess produce that's rotting on the ground or in people's compost because they can't eat it and they don't have a platform on which they can disperse it back into their community.
Huh. Wow. I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah. There are 43 million U.S. household gardeners.
I believe that part of it, yeah. So what was your first sale?
1 pound of cherries from my mom's cherry tree. They sold for $6 a pound. Mm-hmm. I climbed in the tree myself, and I handpicked a pound of cherries, put them into a quart-sized Ziploc bag, and hand-delivered them to the customer. My mom made $5 from the sale, and vendor made its first buck.
Did you frame it?
I did not. Everything went back into the company.
I see. Okay, well, you were on a shoestring budget starting
Floss, really.
Yeah. So what'd you say,
$18.56. It was the cost of a domain name and then a $6.56 Wix website that was just a template and slapped together.
Okay. You must have worked physically very hard during those first months, getting off, delivering stuff, and give us an idea of the range of produce that you handled.
Yeah, I biked about 50 miles a week to pick up and deliver these boxes of produce to family members around the community. Mm-hmm. And it ranged from green beans to apples, kale, cherry tomatoes, different varieties of heirloom tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, potatoes, onions, everything. Peaches, everything. And it's all grown within 5 miles.
Yeah. Yeah,
everything is Port Townsend-based, grown by Port Townsend residents, for Port Townsend residents.
Okay, so during the first 3 months, roughly how many sales did you handle?
I can't remember the number of orders. Okay. We did about just short of $800 in sales.
Okay.
Which isn't much, but it validated the idea, which was, will home gardeners sell their produce? Yes. Will people buy homegrown produce? Yes. Will people buy homegrown produce online? Yes. That's what it was about, is figuring out the problems and validating the idea before I dumped a bunch of money into development. I wanted to do this for as little as possible because I didn't have any money.
Right.
And really just make sure it worked.
And what did you see as the initial problems?
The initial problems were, for the customer, that which was brought up during the Young Professionals meeting. No easy access to fresh local produce that was reasonably priced and always available.
What were the problems for the business model?
Logistics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are we going to transfer all this produce, and how are we going to do all the payments if we can get this to scale? Those were the main problems. Mm-hmm. How to bring it all together.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you at some point realized you on a bicycle wasn't going to grow the business into a large-scale business, let's put it that way.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
But you validated the idea that there were sellers and there were buyers. By the way, who comes up with the price? How do you decide that the cherries cost $5 a pound?
The growers do, the sellers. Ah. They choose the price.
Okay.
It's their stuff. It's their veggies, their produce. They choose the price.
So you don't get involved with that part of it?
Not at all. Which is fantastic because it allows customers to get a true feel of what they're worth. Mm-hmm. And the growers to set the price that they find comfortable with. And looking back on it, seeing what prices are being shown on the site now, it's actually less than the organic produce at Safeway. Hmm. It's on par with their non-organic produce.
Interesting.
But the quality is out of this world. Our average time from when it's cut off the vine and in the customer's hand is about 30 minutes.
Wow.
I've had stuff cut right in front of me and handed over. People have even handed me the scissors and said, cut the ones you want.
At the beginning, did you have the website the way it is now, or did that grow?
Not at all. Okay. I had a very basic site, and everything was done manually. And then from there, I started designing the website that is today, which took a few months. I had to figure out what kind of website would work for a system like this. And it was a marketplace where sellers can sign up, post the items, and do an online transaction. Buyers can register, look at the sellers, kind of like an Amazon, and purchase direct from them. Then I had to outsource to a developer because I don't know how to code. And so I went through that process and started building from there.
So how did you get the money for the initial funding?
I funded it through my part-time job working at the Port Townsend Athletic Club.
Okay.
Yeah, most of my checks for the last 14 months have gone straight there into the company.
So the website is veggievendor.com, VeggieVinder.com. Now, I went on it, and from a consumer's point of view, you go in, and the first thing you do is you type in your zip code. and then up pops a number of growers that have different things. So can you tell me a little bit what the concept is? How does it work?
That's exactly it. You go to the website, you type in your zip code, so you can see all the growers in the area. And you don't have to be just in Port Townsend. If you are taking a day trip out to Seattle, you can type in the zip code out there and find our growers out in Seattle. We've got growers in Greeley, Colorado as well. So if you're traveling, you can still have access to local homegrown veggies. From there, after you type in your zip code, you see the growers, you can see the items you want. You can select the item, you can read a description about the item, find out who the grower is, how they grow, their growing methods, whether they're willing to deliver or not, choose the quantity you want, and check out.
Okay, so let's say I see cherries and I want to order some cherries. I believe you said you use PayPal as a means to pay for it. So you're not going around with bags of coins anymore.
No.
It makes it a little
easier. Yeah.
So I select the cherries. I use my PayPal account to pay for it. And then in terms of delivery, how do I get it?
Sure. And you can use your PayPal or you can use a credit card or debit card if you don't have a PayPal account, which simplifies things. As far as delivery goes, we have two options. You can either pick it up yourself, which is free, and you go to the gardener's house. You can see the garden in which your food is grown. You can meet the gardener. Oftentimes, they give you a tour of their garden and tell you all about the soil nutrients and how long they've been growing, their methods. And then you pick up your produce and head home.
Sounds like fun.
It is a blast. And you create a connection with another community member that you may not have ever known.
Right.
And it builds this relationship. It's a whole nother feeling that I think we lost over the last 100 years with our food and our current food system, which is convenience and everything's prepackaged and ready to go currently in Safeway. This brings it back to where we were just over 100 years ago, knowing the people who grew your food or grow your food, knowing how it's grown, knowing it's coming from a local member, and it's a whole nother experience. Our online website is about maybe 5-10% of the full experience. Most of it's offline.
Yeah, I can see that. So I think you've grown pretty rapidly. What's the scope of the business now? And we've got to preface that by saying, what's the timeline? When did you get the new and improved website up and really launch it?
We launched February 26th, 2017, and within the first 2 months, we had entered 20 cities across 10 states.
Wow.
Very quickly. People heard about it and started joining. We didn't do any paid advertising. Just people who saw our website, liked it, signed up. And as soon as a grower signs up and starts posting an item, it opens up their community immediately. And now we're in 60 cities across 14 states, primarily here in the Pacific Northwest.
So it's been mainly word of mouth that's gotten you that far?
For the most part, we've been picked up. Port Townsend Leaders done a few articles on us, which we love. Thank you. Peninsula Daily has as well. Seattle Times, the Squim Gazette, King 5 did a segment. Q13 did a segment. The Denver Post, the Greeley Tribune, Hill wow. Country News.
This is all good.
Yeah.
This is all good. And of course, KPTZ.
And KPTZ, yeah.
So where do you see the company heading now?
My vision for Vendor is completely redesigning our food system on a global scale. I don't think we have to have our produce trucked in from thousands of miles or even hundreds of miles away. I think communities can become self-sustainable and self-sufficient by connecting with one another. Neighbors can help each other. That's how we used to do it. And so I see this system being on a global scale. People in France, in Italy, in Africa, in Australia, they can band together through the use of our current technology and create a better, healthier, more ecologically sound food system than we currently have.
So here's a very practical question, which is, how does Vendor make money on this?
We have a small service fee that's added to the total of every order.
Okay.
And that allows us to maintain our site, make adjustments, and add new features.
Right.
But that's on to the consumer. So it's like a small service fee. You can kind of see it like a tax. As far as our growers, our sellers, we don't charge them a dime. They can grow their produce, list it, sell it. They get exactly what they listed it for.
So
I don't find it right to charge our growers because the amount of work that goes into growing vegetables is immense. And I just don't personally find it right to charge them.
So what we've really got here is sort of what people would call a hyper-local food network.
Yeah.
And Your company's really in its infancy now. I believe you told me you won some prize, $10,000 in a competition. What was that?
That was the Silicon Valley Business Plan Competition. Oh, cool. It's the same competition I went to the year before and placed last.
Yeah.
And we went back this year with the current business and traction and took first place.
That's cool.
Yeah. And we were awarded a $10,000 grant.
Which obviously helped on the startup.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know, because you putting your salary from teaching at the Port Townsend Athletic Club is not going to make millions, I would think.
No. But everything helps. Everything gets us to where we want to go. And I also want to say we've also recently launched a disaster relief program.
Really?
Which connects the community members who want to provide fresh produce to anyone in emergency situations. We'll have a local food system that can provide fresh produce. If roads shut down and we're only reliant upon the big box stores, let's say QFC or Safeway, that's a limited amount of food if there's no supply to get in. So how can we fix that? And by fixing that, we created this disaster relief network through Home Gardeners, which was actually the brainchild of one of our growers, Dave Seabrook. He was a retired firefighter.
That's a good plan, because if the Cascadia Fault erupts and the bridge goes out, it's going to be hard to get things in and out of here.
Absolutely. And we're getting ready to help out in Texas and Florida as well, because we can help with them in the hurricane relief.
Okay. The growing season up here in the Pacific Northwest isn't, well, it's seasonal, let's say. So what happens? Does the company sort of go dormant a bit in the winter, or how does that work?
We do see a drop in sales during the winter, but we found that there's all different types of growing methods. There's raised beds, there's in-ground, there's hydroponics, there's aquaponics using fish tanks.
Right.
And we have growers in Connecticut that do aquaponics. So they grow inside using the fish tanks. It's a closed system, closed circle system, and they often have an abundance of food in the winter, which is unusual for a normal growing season. But here in town, it does decline a little bit.
Sure.
But people have greenhouses and it still works. There's still going to be onions, kale. You can't get rid of kale. Tons of kale here in Port Townsend.
Yeah.
And garlic.
Okay, great. Well, Sam, good luck with Vendor. I think it's a fabulous idea.
Thank you.
And hopefully you will continue your march of expansion. You're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend 91.9 FM. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today is Sam Lilly, the founder of an ambitious startup company called Vendor. It's an online way to buy produce direct from your neighbor's garden. You can pay by PayPal or credit card or whatever. You arrange with the garden's owner whether it's a delivery or you go pick it up. Most people go pick it up because they really love to see the gardens of their friends and neighbors and people they don't know, and maybe they are gardeners themselves and they can pick up some tips. It's hyper-local, farm-to-table, not through a fancy restaurant, but through your own cooking and your neighbor's veggies. Thank you for being on the show, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
And I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson. He's the engineer for Our Town. He edits out all the M's and R's and makes me and my guests sound so much better. I also want to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and our chairman, Robert Ambrose. Both work long hours trying to make KPTZ the best community radio station possible. So listeners, stay tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.